Okay, we're going to talk to you. Dollar number, David, two dots, and we'll go back a little bit again. Sidron Shastuvim, the order of Shastuvim, or is as follows, root, followed by Sefer Kelim, as we pointed out yesterday, the reason it's called Sefer, the similarity to the Sefer Torah. Yod, Mishle, Tohelet, Shir Hashirim. It's very fascinating that Shir Hashirim, Rashi says, was written to be made, he thinks, it was written in a Ziknuto, which would be the reason that it's put in that order. But there's indications in the Medrash that exactly the opposite. Kinos, and Kinos, of course, the first Megillat Echa. Daniel, Megillat Esther, we pointed out yesterday that Megillat Esther is the only one, it's called the Megillah, apparently the only one that satisfies the requirements of the Megillah, demands the cloth and so on, and therefore we make a bracha specifically on Megillat Esther, not on the reading of the other Megillot, at least according to Moshe says here in Yerushalayim. They follow the Gra, and they make a bracha on all the Megillot, although it's not mentioned earlier from the Masechet Sefri. Ezra and Divrei Hayom. Yes, the Gemara, according to the Mandiyama that Eov, we'll see that this is coming up today, according to the Mandiyama that Eov lived during the time of Moshe, wouldn't that put Eov historically earliest, and we should follow the historical order? So, Mishnele Eov Bereisha. Well, absolutely, the Puranita lo matchalina. We don't want to begin with bad news, do we? Well, Ruth starts off pretty awful. I mean, everybody is dying, and there's the hunger, and then the whole family dies. Why do we start off to dream with a story like that? But that's Puranut to eat like a harish. That's not, that may be Puranut, but it's Puranut that has ultimate ends of great hope. And Tosis points out, even though Eov itself also ends with the good things, but over here we're talking about a hope that has implications, cosmic implications for Klal Yisrael. Whereas Eov is only personal. There's even a Mandi Yomar that the Kesel of the Tova, the end of Eov, only came in order to finish up his Krav Olam Hazeh, and therefore is not viewed as something good, it's viewed as something bad. So Rut we can begin with. The Omer of Yoha and Lama Nikra Shema Rut, at the very beginning, her name even is called Al Shem, the good things that come out of it, because she's called Rut Shiyatsami Mina David Shirivehu L'Hakadosh Baruch Hu B'Shirot V'Tishvachot, who is satisfied, made God filled with Shirim V'Tishvachot. Now who wrote all of these books? Well, Moshe wrote his own book, and he included in his book the Parsha of Bilam, even though Bilam said that book, but Moshe wrote it. Yoke, and we'll see, I mean obviously it depends on the Machlokas, but according to this Brisa, because this Lan Yomer holds it, Moshe, and he wrote Sefer Yoke as well. Yoshua wrote his own book, and wrote the last 8 psukim in the Torah from the part about the death of Moshe, Shmuel Psukim Shabbat Torah. Shmuel, Katat Sifro, he wrote his own book, and he also wrote the book of Shoftim, and he also wrote the book of Rut, all of which was to provide the background for the creation of the Malchus, which was his business in life. David Katat Sefer Tehillim, although he didn't write it entirely on his own, it was Al Yedei Asrazik Tehillim. We know that there were 10 other Zikanim that were included, some of which were in his days, others which he was quoting historical sources from, and those were Adam HaRishon, where we have various Tillim that refer to things that Adam HaRishon loved, and especially Yom HaShabbos, the Lo Mi Ro'uei Necha, all those things are the response of the first human. Ha'yidei Malki Tzedek, who was mentioned, La'ashem Shevli Yumi, Ha'yidei Avram, who was we'll see later we identify with Eitana Ezrachi, this is more for Eitana Ezrachi, is Avram Avinu. Ayyadeh Moshe, we have the Nidmorim of Moshe, we read them every Shabbat. Ayyadeh Heman, we maskil Heman. Ayyadeh Yidutun, we quote Lam Naseach Yidutun. Ayyadeh Asaf, Ayyadeh Shlosh of Bnei Korach, very often we'll quote Asaf, and we'll quote from the Moshe of Bnei Korach, and Bnei Korach Nidmor. Yirmiyo wrote his own book, and he also wrote Sefer Melachim, which includes the lead up to the Churban. And he wrote Sefer Tzidot, which is Megillat Esav. So anything that had to do with the destruction, he wrote. Hizkiah and the group of people that were working with Hizkiah, that there was a group of editors and Talmid HaChachamim who came to write up things that needed to be written still, they wrote Sefer Yeshayahu, because Yeshayahu did not have the opportunity to write his own Sefer because he was murdered unexpectedly by Menashe, and therefore his work was left unfinished. Just to finish that work. He also wrote Mishlei. Yeshayahu and his group wrote Mishlei, that is the Sefer, in the middle of the Sefer Mishlei, the Etiko Anshei Kisya. And they also wrote Shir HaShirim and Kohelet. This also was not up to Shlomo HaMelech to do, because apparently Shlomo ended up losing his position in his computer. And Zepchetko, was that? Yeah, now they had his notes, and they had his the oral teachings that he had, and they put it down. Anshi Knesset HaGedolah Katvu Yechezko. They wrote a Sefer Yechezko. Rashi says he does not understand why Yechezko wouldn't have written his own, since his life didn't come to a sudden end, and he suggests that maybe it because it was a nevuah in Kutfaret. Kutfaret, the nevuah, although it's only given in terms of the Kut for Eretz Yisrael, and the need for Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they didn't write it down, perhaps in Kutfaret, and so they needed to have it afterwards. Someone who determined, in the Ranchik as Megadola, who determined that after they came back to Eretz Yisrael, that they should be included in the Torah as it comes from Eretz Yisrael. Same thing would be true about Daniel and Esther and so on.
In terms of Esther, would that mean that it wasn't done right away,
it was
done only?
No, it could be that it didn't have a din yet of Yisrael Kronish, perhaps. If what Rashi is, was saying is true. If he concludes, maybe let Esther in this whole.
Would
be included in the whole discussion of the Kedusha of Esther from Miguel. Ezra wrote his own paper, and he wrote the, there's really not a problem, actually, you know. And Daniel and Esther, there's not a problem because they're not Levian. It's true. The whole thing really wouldn't be an issue. But the Ezra wrote his own sefer, and he also wrote Divrei Hayomim until himself, Adlo, until the mention of Ezra as his father, that he mentioned Ezra, he wrote. And this is actually Mitzayeli, the Rav. Remember, the Rav, Lo Ezra, we go, but actually, Yechei Tatsumova Allah. But this is, Rav always said, and this was Ezra's main work in life, as we saw from Asura Yuchten, was Yichud. He wanted to determine particularly the continued structure of Klal Yisrael's Yichud, look at the continued Malchus Mashiach, and the development overall of Yisrael. So he, the same way that he worked on this in terms of the people that he took out of Gol, Eretz Yisrael, and he made sure that there weren't Sula Yichud, and so on, he also wrote the book of Yichud, which is Divrei Hayamim, and it didn't leave until he got to the story of himself. And only then he was all the Uman Aske, who ended that story. Nehemiah ben Kaflaya, it was Nehemiah who completed the story. Oh, my mind. Yoshua ben
Zaina,
Omar Mar, Yoshua Katat Yifro, which one is Sukim Shabbat Torah. Yoshua wrote his own paper. And. Mar is whoever just said something. You've met him about 41,612 times before today, so let's put it off for some other time. Yeshua wrote his own sefer, and the eighth sukkim at the end of the sefer Torah. This seems to be going, our grace, the Tagik Madiyom, which one is the sefer Torah, Yeshua Katzah. It's going according to the Madiyom, who holds, we'll see this in my focus in a moment, that the last six sukkim of the Torah was written by Yeshua, the Tanya. Says in the Torah, Vayomot Shem Moshe Eved Hashem, Epshar Moshe Meit. Could Moshe be dead and write the Sefer Torah that Moshe died? Ela at kan katav Moshe, mikan ve'ela katav Yehoshua. Perfect entrance. Oh, wonderful. Let's get the argument. So it was from here up till here Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, and then from the part of Vayomot Shem Moshe. Vayomot Shem Moshe, that part was written by Yehoshua. So it says, Rabbi Yudav Amrilo, Rabbi Nathaniel, Amrilo, Rabbi Shimon, how could you say such a thing? After Sefer Torah Chaser, O Tachat, Steve Lakoch, Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer, gave it over to be the Sefer Torah that would be held in the Mishkan, and gave it to the Levian, and that's the Sefer Torah. So how could Yoshua add to the Sefer Torah after Moshe already defined this is the Sefer Torah? So obviously, he had to have written it. Ella Atkana Kadarshwara Kuomer. The difference is in the mode of writing. In other words, the part of the Sefer Torah in which Moshe participated in the history of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stated to him what to write, dictated what to write. Moshe Olmer, Moshe said over what he was told, and then wrote what he was said. And in his saying, he translated the Torah, which is not dependent in time, into something that was human and timely. But Mikan Ve'elach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, from that point on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, but Moshe did not repeat it, because it wasn't true yet. So what he wrote, he also did not write. This is the way, many different ways of learning Moshe, because Tate the Gemma. But the most accepted shot is that Moshe wrote the remaining elements of the Sefer Torah with his tears, rather than with ink, so that it wasn't as yet defined in the world. It was Rishuman Nikar, and then it was overwritten with ink, so that it would still be Lakorka Sefer Torah there, although it was written on Shema Atid. And the Sefer Torah contains information about the past, the future. It really doesn't matter, but it didn't have a din of a kosher Sefer Torah actually until that part was filled in afterwards. Now, there's other pshat, and one of the most interesting is because Moshe Kotev the Gemma, the Grub pshat, the Russian of Dimua, of Truma. So that Dimua means it was not, that all of the Sefer Torah are letters that can be combined in many different ways. So the last part of the Sefer was written without separation of the words, so that it could have meant many different things. And then only afterwards was separated. So when Moshe wrote it, he didn't say it, so that there was no definition in time of this thing. It wasn't true. And the implications of those words retained all of the potential implications that they would have had in the original Sefer Torah that was written before my separation. So that's the demo. So the Kazel of Kodesh Baruch Hu, no, Moshe could say the demo, so Moshe Nehmar Lama. Just like we see later on, this is the way that Shiva was done. Like it says, "Vayom lam boro nipi v'kray v'etzolat borin ha'ela v'anikotei v'alasefer b'diyot." You see that the way in which Nevi'ah was given over to be written was that somebody says it and writes it with ink. And here it was neither said nor written in ink. Manot ha'avi amar of Yeshua barav amar of Gidol amar of Shmon etzukim shebetora yochi korei otam. So who is the author then of this halacha, that the last eight psukim in the Torah cannot be split up, and only a single person can be called to the Torah to read those eight psukim? If you're giving them a special din, then apparently it's a lema delo for Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon said that the Sefer Torah can't be chaser, and that this is part of the regular Sefer Torah, whereas we seem to be trying to avoid treating these eight psukim the way we would treat the rest of the Sefer Torah. Says Gemara, no, you don't say Rabbi Shimon. Hello, the Ishtanu. Rabbi Shimon agrees, does he not? But these psukim are different. They may have been written, but they weren't written normally. They weren't given as the rest of the Torah was given. But they were not given in time and space. They were still potential, and therefore, when they're read, we can't treat them as the regular words of Moshe, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So we treat them as a separate entity, and as that entity, we don't split them up into different pieces. Yoshua Katat Sifro. Now, you say Yoshua wrote his book. How could he have written his book? His book includes his own death. It says, Vayom of Yoshua ben Nun Ever Hashem. Well, that part was completed. The book wasn't written in its entirety by Yoshua. Asti Elazar. Elazar completed it. That's interesting because it says Elazar ben Aaron Meit. Who wrote that? Well, Pinchas wrote that part, and he lived longer. So, okay, but essentially, when we say Yoshua Katat Sifro, we mean that the overwhelming proportion, Yoshua, was it by Yoshua? Shmuel wrote his book, which is also interesting because it says in Shmuel, Shmuel made. Yes, Asti God, Achuzer and Natan Anavi. God and Natan, they completed that book. David, Katat Sefer Tehillim, Aidei Asarat Hakinim. How come we don't include Eitan HaEzrachi? You mentioned 10 Zekinim and not Azam. Amrav Eitana Ezrachi is Avram. Go Avram. Kivata Eitana Ezrachi. Kivata mi Mizrach Tzedek. I'm saying Ezrachi as the one who had been brought from the Mizrach. And so he was the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made here. But wait a second. You called 10 people, including Moshe and Haman, but Rav says that Haman is Moshe. Shivaka Haman, and we think that the reference is now to the Mizmor for Haman. We'll soon see that there's other, I mean, to the Maskil of Haman, but we'll see that there's other mentions in Tanakh of Haman. So Shivaka Bechol Beitim Ne'emanu, so that seems to be a reference to Ne'emanut, which is Moshe's characteristic, and therefore this is a nom de plume of Moshe. There were two Haman's, because in the list of the brilliant people in the world that Shlomo was greater than, so it says he was greater than Eitan, Ezrachi, and Haman, and so on and so forth. That's something else. The Haman that's listed of your Maskil Haman was not the Haman that was being referred to in the Chokhmah of Shlomo. It's a different issue. One is Moshe Rabbeinu, and the other is the gentleman named Haman. Moshe katav sifro for Shas Bil'am and Iyov. Now this, if Moshe wrote Iyov, this brayta seems to support the position of Rav Levi Bar Lachma. Rav Levi Bar Lachma said that Iyov lived during the time of Moshe. Because if you take a look at the similarity in the language, it says over here, it says, oh, if only my words could be written down for the ages, Iyov says. Now that same word, meeting a foe, very strange word. I mean, it doesn't really, it can't even be translated precisely. It's one of those words that only has meaning in Hebrew. And Moshe Rabbeinu says the same word. So apparently, it's the Apo of Moshe that is involved in the Apo of Iyov. Well, why? We find that word in many places. Maybe be may it crack. It says me a po who at sasayin. Well, be may Yaakov, because he came a po zotatu. Or maybe be may Yosef. So you have a po him roim. Now that's pretty strange. That's a different a po, obviously. One with a, one with an olive. It means a po him roim where? Okay. Lo talka daita. No, that's not a point. Because Iyov says me ye came to say for the yuchaku. He doesn't just say it should be written a po. He says it should be chukah. The Sefer. The only one who is called a Chokek is Moshe. Moshe is called Mechokek. The Chivayar Reshito, Kisham Chalkat Mechokek Kafun. So Iyov wants to be involved with the lawgiver. The lawgiver is Moshe. Rav Amar Iyov Bimei Meraglim Haya. Chivahaka Ish Haya Be'eret Ut. Iyov Shemo. The Chivahaka when Moshe sent the Meraglim, he said, I gave by eight im ayin. Yeah, but come on. I mean, one is Ut and one is eight. I mean, what are you talking? No, the point over here is that Moshe tells Yitzro, Hayeshba Eitzimayim, what does that have to do with the water? He's going in there to talk, Hayeshba Eitzimayim, obviously the trees are in trouble. So, you know, he said like this, find out whether Yeshno Loto Adam, find out whether the man is living who is actually an ant. Sheshnotav Aruchot Ke'et, his years go on just like a tree keeps living. Umegin Aldoroke, he protects his door the way a tree does. Then we're in big trouble, and I want to start off with this guy. And so Uts and Eitz is just sort of a simon to the real deer, which is Hayeshba Eitz, which was the only person. The first was Eel. Tree deer? No. A tree, and yeah, provides shade. People live in trees, essentially. They just cut them down and make houses out of them. Same with living in them. Yeah, but more to discuss the favor of the number. Yosef Umar Avon and Kamele Shulman Achmeni, there was one of the, I mean, if I call me son of Shulman Achmeni, said there never was an Eov. Eov lo hayav lo nivra. Obviously, it's a literary thing. It's not a person. Mashal hayav. Omar Leiz, which Shulman Achmeni said, Alef HaMakra, Ish hayav, there is Uts, Eov Shemot, says Ish hayav. The word Ish hayav means there was a man, not once upon a time. So Ishaya, how do you explain that? So he said, well, it also says Velarash in Ko, Kiim Kitsa Khatkana, Asher Kana, Viyya, and then it manages to go on and to say that Vatihilo Kibat, that's exactly the same word, doesn't say once upon a time. Obviously, the mother is talking purely in metaphor. He still uses the word vatehi. So talking about existence in a metaphor is not unacceptable, because in the context of the metaphor, it exists. That's a potential of the way of looking at things. So why can't it mean the same thing? Mihavi, Yalom Mashal, was a metaphor. So, Akanami Mashal Bialma. Here too, why can't Eo simply be a very long story? There's a story. Well, because this is Rav Meir, why would we give him a name and the name of the city where he comes from? Seems to be stretching it. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Tarvayim, Eov Miolei Golahaya. Actually, Eov was a recent fellow. He came up from Bavel, who Beit Midrash of Tveriyahaya. He had a Beit Midrash in Tveriyahaya. And he suffered. Meitvei. Yemesh notav shal Eov Mishash Nechvesu Yisrael Mitzrayim Va'ashiyatro. Eov lived as long. Now, what the Gemara thinks it means is that that's when he was living. From the time of Knis of Mitzrayim until Yitzias Mitzrayim, which would mean obviously the difference between Moshe. There's one other word. It means, Kemisha Ashiyat Zuri Krova Mitzrayim, the Asha Ashiyatu, which is essentially 210 years. The reason that we get that is very simple, because it says that Eov lived after he was Huchpal 140 years, it says in Eov. Which means that if that was a Hakpalah, then originally he had lived 70 years, which equals to 210, which is the same number of years as Yisroel was in Mitzrayim. Amazing. Okay? No, we're saying he didn't live in that time. This is just the amount of time. It's giving us some type of parallel that we're supposed to understand as meaning between Yisroel's life and Yisroel in Mitzrayim. I mean, obviously the parallel is evident. Eov's life in miniature is a macrocosm of what happened in Israel. The design started off with a wonderful life, it had gone great, yes, and so on and so forth. And then you have these horrible things happen in the end, and Huchpalu at the end, which everything but had richly been given, was taken out with interest. So this also appears to see Eov in a sense as metaphoric. Which, of course, I mean, all of the to say Eov was inferior and so on. The idea over here is that although it is a metaphor, we're not going to call it on the essential incorporation of the ideas of Eov as being metaphoric. We're just saying that there are places in history where this applies. There are people like this. You may even know who I'm referring to. It's been Russia before, I mean. There were seven Nevi'im for the Umot HaOlam, and they include Bil'am and his father, because wherever it lists the father, it means that he's the same, unless we know it's different. So that means that Bil'am and Ba'or, both of whom were Nevi'im. Eov, Eliphaz HaTimni, Bildad HaShufi, Tzofar La'amati, Eliud and Bracha El Abuzi, and these are all what we think means now that these are non-Jews. Okay. So how can
you?
Yeah. And then they taught them what God has given them. So how could he have been inferior and have a Beis HaMidrash inferior if he was a Goy that was during the time of the Yudh? So, I mean, it wasn't that in the Yudh after the time of Moshe to be talking about as part of his Tzila. So what do you mean? Knew the Tainik, Eliyahu ben Brachi, Allah be Yisrael Avi. Eliyahu wasn't the Jew. It says the Mishpachat Ram can only be referring to Avram. It's from Avram's family. It's got to be referring to the Jews. Or, I mean, even if this means the name of the Mishpacha. We wouldn't give the Mishpacha if it was Mishpacha of Goyim. Eliyahu Inzi Umot HaOlam. All it means is that they said the Viyut that was no gay at the Umot HaOlam. Doesn't mean that they were not Jewish. Okinami Yov Inve La Umot Olam. What is that supposed to mean? Of the Kulani Milo Inve La Umot Olam. All of the Nabians said things that were said to the Umot Olam. I mean, we often find them talking directly to, you know, Mata for this country, for that country. I mean, so why wouldn't we list all of the Nabians then that did that? I mean, us of eager Nabiyo Tayo Yisrael, we find the Nabians speaking about and even two at times the Mot HaOlam, but it's always in the context of a long life of Nevi'ut that was addressed to Yisrael. Okay, each year Nevi'ut Tayo the Mot HaOlam, what they did was focused on the Goyim.
Well,
we don't call that an Eker. Meisek. Chassid Haya B'Mot Olam B'Iyuv Shmo, there was a Chassid among the Goyim. So again, says that he was not Jewish. V'lo Bala Olam Elakadei L'Kabel Tzcharo. He only came to the world to get his tzchar. Evi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alav Yisurin Nitzchum Mecharei V'Megadeh. He didn't stand up to the pressure. He ultimately has got questions. He's angry at God. Angry at God means he's not really Roy for Elam Abba. So, Kafalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzcharo B'Olam Hazeh Kedei L'Kordo Ben Olam. So, all of that, this is what Tosfos is referring to when we began the Daf, that the Puranut, the Tova at the end, Sheyesh Lo'Akarit, was also not really an Akarit Tova, because it was only in order to be Torahim from Olam Abba. Says the Gemara, well, actually, it's a machlokes. There are indeed those who hold that Iyov was a goy, and therefore, obviously, is not included in this, the Beit HaMidrash and Tveri and so on. And there are others who hold otherwise. Tanoi, actually, it's a machlokes. Tanoi. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar Amar Iyov b'mei Shvot HaShoftim Haya. We could see that Iyov was during the time of the Shoftim. Shenemar hin atem kulchem chazitem v'lama zeh hevel tehevolu. All of you have seen it. Why then are you acting in this manner towards me to give me this nonsensical mutter that you're giving me? Now, Ezu dor shekulo hevel, when he says to them, you're all acting like a bunch of idiots in your rebuke. Aviyom is the Rosh Shvot HaShoftim. The door of Shvot HaShoftim, in which that we'll see later on, that was a door that even the Shoftim were Makul Kalim, that's exactly what Yov is telling them. So apparently they were from that door. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, Yov v'me'ach HaShverosh Haya. Shinema v'lo nimtza nashim yafot kibinot Yov v'chol ha'aretz. They couldn't find more beautiful women in the whole world than Yov's daughters. Now, what does that supposed to mean? Since when do we keep a tab on beautiful women? Which generation actually kept a tab on beautiful women and would know which one were the most beautiful? Where they went out to get all the beautiful women. Why? Maybe it's David. Says, yeah, but over there, it's only the whole blue Israel. That's over there. It was all over the world. 127 million. Rabbi Natan Omer. We can tell that Iyov was during the time of Malchut Shva, and therefore needed to be basically at the time of Shlomo. Time of Shlomo. Shenema batipo Shva vatikachem v'etanari miku. It says that Shva attacked the Iyov's family. That was for one of the disasters that befell him. So apparently it was during the time of Malchut Shva. Rachamim omrim Iyov v'nei kasim haya. Shenema, it also says that the kasim attacked Iyov. So it says over there that the Katim Samu Shlosha Roshim, Vayishitu Alag Malim, Vayikachum, they killed all of the Na'alim and so on. So you see that they must have been the time of Katim. The Yesh Omrim, obviously, each one of the Yomra understands that the other person is also there, so that we're either talking about the remnants or the precursors of the Katim, we're talking about the remnants of Shva. I mean, the height of the power of a particular malchut doesn't mean that it doesn't continue on the Bamata Historia for many centuries. We still find the Persians, called the Persians, still at the time of the Gomorrah, even though it was well past their heyday. The question over here is whether Bati Pol Shiva, referring to it as an entity that invades, means it was at the height of its power, or whether Shlosha Rashim means that this was a serious the government kind of thing, not just bans of people who happen to have been casted. That's the question here. As a matter of fact, he married Yaakov's daughter, Dina. How do we know that? Because it says that he tells his wife, and his wife tells him to curse God. So he says, where do we find that lotion? He wasn't Nivalot. But that must mean that he's referring to her as that old Nivalah. You're back to your old tricks again. Nivalah has Tabi Yisrael, fine. But you speak like a Nivalah. So the Kulu Tanoi Shvirlu the Yom Yisrael Olavar Miyesh Omrim. All of the Mandi Omrim, except for the Yesh Omrim, had to have agreed that Iyov was a Jew. And therefore I have arrived at it as a Jew, because Isaac, If he wasn't Jewish, then any of these pshatim that say, that give him a historical context after Moshe, can't be referring to a guard, because it said before that Yoav was a nani, and there was not no nevi to both olam after that point, after Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mamela, he must be Jewish if he was a nani, and he just was a Jew who spoke to the guard. You see that he was given his request. There shouldn't be a Nevi'ah by the Gemara. The Omer of Yochanan Doro Shel Iyob Shaptuf Bezimaya, the generation of Iyob was sexually immoral. Shnemar Ein Atem Kulchem Chazitem Lolom Azehed Al Ta'avolo. All of you are lookers. You're all looking at the girls all day long, and then you come to me to give me mutzir. Where do we see that PZ10 is a lotion of lookers? So that means that the Goyim are telling Klai Yisrael, come and let us have some fun together, essentially, if you come down to our level and be of the same type of morals that we have. Well, that's not the only meaning, Nefezeh, is it? I mean, maybe it means Nevuah. You use the same word, Chazon Yishayot. Well, if it was referring to Chazon, when he would say to them, Kulchem Chazitem, the Lama Zehevel Ta'abolu, the two don't go hand in hand. What do you mean? So then, Lama Zehevel Ta'abolu Lamali, if he's referring to all of you Chazitem, meaning you're all false prophets, and you don't have to say Lama Zehevel Ta'abolu. And if he's saying that you saw real prophecies, you'll have to follow Lama Zehevel Ta'abolu. But if it means you were all a bunch of lookers, so how is it that you're telling me with this chutzpah, this rebuke, that you view yourself really in the cloth that can be rebuked? The owner of Yelchin, Majesty Vaibi Meshvot HaShoftim, said before that he was from the door of the Shoftim, door to Shoftet et Shofta. The meaning over there is Shvot HaShoftim, the generation judged their Shoftim. Omerlo, the Shoftet would say, Tol Kitzain Miden Shunecha, take out, you've got a little piece of a toothpick left between your teeth over there, your aren't on properly. So he would say to him, Tol Koro Miden Shunecha, before you tell me that, why don't you take the roof beam sticking out between your eyes? What about all the money that you've been embezzling? Amarlo Kaspecha Ayalas Begin. If the Shofet would say, hey, your money is not accurately worth, Amasavachama Uba Mai, your gas is mixed with water in there. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Kol Homer Malkat Shva Ishaita Eino Elatoka. Anybody who claims that Malkat Shva was a woman is simply making a mistake. Malkat Shva does not mean the queen of Sheba. Malkat Shva means Malkuta Shva. It means the Malkut. Malkut is feminine. The Malkut of Shva. Now the Mashah points out the Pasuk constantly refers to a feminine entity. I mean, it's a little ridiculous to say that the Malkat Shva refers to the entity of the country called Shva. And nowhere else do we talk about a Malkut in this sense. And he says a brilliant shout. It's such a beautiful shout. He says whoever says that Malkat Shva is a woman, that means a woman, is a wife, Isha, that she is a wife of a king, is wrong. She was the real queen on her own, because it refers to Malkuta de Shva. We would never call her Malkat Shva. She could be called so-and-so Hamalka of Shva. But to call her Malkat Shva means that she represented the actual Malkut Shva. That's beautiful. Yeah. And that's exactly the way the Gemara put it. Let's put it. Anybody who thinks she's just someone's wife, she's going to be shot. No. She is the queen of Sheba. Great shot. Huh? No, he says that's what it means. Whoever says she is just an Aisha means someone's wife. She became queen because she's married to a king is wrong. So now we can come back to Eob. You know, we're going to get into Eob a little bit over here. So the book begins with Vayihayom Vayavo Bnei Elohim Vayasev Al Hashem Vayavo Gam Atatam Vayavokam Vayomer Al Hashem Al Hashatan Neayin Tavo Vayan Atatan. He gives this whole story about the Shud Ba'olam, and I've been all around, and this is the stuff I'm coming on Rosh Hashanah now to report on all of the might and of the world. So Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Shastavti Bechol Olam Kulo V'lo Matzati Ne'eman Kavdach Avraham. I've looked all over the world, I haven't found anybody as great as your servant Avram, you tell him, walk along the earth and you will have every place that you step is your own. When it came time to find a little plot of land to bury his wife, he had to pay good money for it. He didn't sit there and say, no, God told me that I would have to land. It made perfectly good sense to him. Now, when you hear this stuff and saying good things about someone, it's very important to change the topic. And so by Yomer Hashem al HaSatan, HaSamta Likhal Adi Yod, Ki Hin Kamo V'Aret. What are you talking about, Avram? Second race. Look at this guy, Yov. Now that's what I call a real fellow. Omer Yochanan, Gadol HaNemar B'Yov Yosemri, Hashem of Avram. By Avram, Hashem tells Avram, Ki Ata Yadati Ki Yorei Elohim Ata. But by Yov, it says, Ish Tam V'Yashar Yorei Elohim. So he's even greater than Avram Avinu. The Sor Mirah. What does Sor Mirah mean? Omer Baba Bashmon, Yov Batran B'Momono Haya. Sor Mirah can also be understood, Rabbi Gershi says, as Mirei Eo. It does not follow the way normal people work. Normal people, come to money, they'll argue with you over every last thing. I get into a taxi cab. No, it should be 17 shekel, not 1750. But Eo was about, no. He didn't think that it was correct to sit and argue about the change. A guy who owes change, so he's going to sit there and he's going to give him a dollar anyway. What he did, he said, okay, you take this year, you have this amount on your credit, you can go take that credit from the company, less than a pruta. And Eov, Vitram Ishalov. Vayana Satanat Hashem Vayomar. So the Satan answers God and says, of course, Hachinam Yarei Eov Elohim. What do you think? I mean, he's in this for free. Why shouldn't he be a Yorei Elohim? Nothing has ever gone wrong for him. Halo atasakta ba'adova ad-beitova ad-kolashelomi saviv. Masi adav be'rachva. Now we're going to go and dash in his pocket. You have taken care of him. You've given a block at everything that he has. So what does it mean? Masi adav be'rachva. Om rachmu barav yitra kolonotil putal mi'iyov mitvarech. Anybody who would have anything to do with Eov, you take a penny from Eov, your business already starts going better. You can't do better than to get involved with Eov. And then it continues, Umikneu Barat Baharat. They were abnormal, his livestock. Normally the wolves, they eat sheep. Mikneu shall Eov, the goats, they kill the wolves. No wolves would start off with this goat. Continues the Satan Sevulam, Shlach na yatcha v'gad chaleshelo. But if you, God, will stretch forth your hand and you will start touching that which is his, in lo aponecha yavarakecha, see if he doesn't curse you to your face. V'yom ra'ashem ala Satan, inei chaleshelo v'yadecha. Fine. It's in your hand. Do what you want. Rak in lov al tishlach yadecha. Interesting shot, although it's not quite the shot yet. All right, we'll get into the exciting events of the Yom Kippur tomorrow.